What's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's once again Skews Day. Specifically, it's March 3rd, 2026. We're recording this on Monday, March 2nd at about 1 o'clock p.m. on the left coast. I'm Trey, and that's Mark, and all is well.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about all the stupid contradictions and reasonings, rationales for Operation Epic Fury, which, you know, we attacked Iran this weekend. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk about the GOP primaries in Texas for a little bit. We talked about the Democratic side on our show on Friday. But as for the dynamics over there, my old home state, the race we're not even going to talk about is the Texas Agriculture Commissioner race, where the incumbent, a guy named Sid Miller, running for like his fourth term, I think, he got endorsed by Trump and a weightlifter named Tiny Meeker, who holds a world record for bench press. He's currently attacking his opponent, Nate Sheets, over his alleged porn addiction and whether his honey is organic. People have been defacing signs for Nate Sheets. When you pull this image up there, Matt, Nate Sheets his pants.
Classic.
Yeah.
Sure, he's never heard that one before.
Yeah. So the rest of the Republican primary races in Texas seem to revolve around, you know, a huge issue in America that we're all confronting. If you got this video, Matt, pretty much every Texas GOP primary sounds like this.
Vote for me so we can kick every dirty Muslim out of Texas and protect our soldiers from getting murdered in broad daylight. Let me be very clear.
That's Valentina Gomez, you might remember from previous episodes.
That I saw that lady earlier today claim that there was a shooting in Austin or whatever, and she tweeted a video, and in the caption for it, she said, it said something like, Muslims wanted to kill me, but they killed innocent people instead or something. And I don't, because I didn't watch the video, I don't know if she was literally trying to claim that that dude wanted to kill her, or if she just, if it was her way of saying, like, you know, we're all under threat by Muslims all the time or what. But her response to that was to say, like, you know, they tried to come for me and got these people instead.
She has made videos where she burns Koran, so I'm sure she's on somebody's shit list somewhere. Whether or not they're going to go out of the trouble to murder her, I doubt it, because who the fuck... She's a weirdo. She ran for Secretary of State in Missouri 2 years ago when we first started making fun of her.
Yeah, and was she the one that was jogging and was like, stop being weak and gay?
Yes, yeah. And then she moved to Texas because she thought it'd be easier to get elected there, but she got caught doing voter fraud because she was trying to register a vote to, like, run for office with the address as a P.O. box. She thinks she's being, like, railroaded by the deep state. She's a fucking lunatic. Anyway, in that video, she goes on to say, your daughters will be raped and your sons beheaded unless we stop Islam once and for all. So let me quote here on this Politico piece. This headline reads, Republicans go all in on Sharia law attacks ahead of Texas primary. This is a GOP consultant named Vinny Minchillo. Minchillo? I don't know. The Muslim community is the boogeyman for this cycle, he said. 100% this message works. There's no question about it. There has been pulled up one side and down the other. This has been pulled once up one side and down the other. And with Texas Republican primary voters, it works. It is a thing they're legitimately scared of. Texas is 2% Muslim, and you all wear gun belts while you brush your teeth naked. You're going to be fucking fine. They're like, they're just, I mentioned before that, like, I watch a lot of Dallas sports, Texas sports, I borrow Buddy's DirecTV login, so I see ads from Texas, and they're all the campaign ads are about, we need to stop Sharia law in Texas.
Where is this coming from? Is this tangentially related to Israel or something like that?
No.
Because I'd felt like, you know, they had mostly moved on to trans stuff. Mm-hmm. I guess you just got to... And then immigrants, but not specifically Muslim immigrants, just, you know, immigrants, Central and South American immigrants. So I guess you just got to switch it up every now and then. So they're pivoting back to Muslims. But also we're now at war with Iran, so it seems convenient, you know.
This goes back. Remember the Ground Zero Mosque controversy? Back, you know, 20 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
This is sort of like Texas has their own version of that, where, like, this group called the East Plano Islamic Center is, you know, filed for permits to build a 400-acre, like, planned community around a mosque, a K-12 school, and some retail with shops and stuff, like a whole butcher shop, coffee shop, that kind of shit, right? And it's been a whole fucking outrage and fury about it. Like, there's no walls around it. It's not like a nation state of Sharia law. They're building, like, a planned community. It's like less isolated than an Amish farm, and you don't even have to be Muslim to live there, which would be illegal, right? So like you can go once it's built, you can drive over there to a restaurant and get yourself a falafel. It's no fucking big deal. But they're acting like they're installing a Sharia, like an independent like secessionist state where there's going to be Sharia law. And by the way, there are no Sharia courts in Texas. Like there's only voluntary Muslim mediation panels operating under the same framework used by Jewish Beit Din courts and Christian arbitration services. So like a lot of different religions, like if you want to get a divorce from your wife, it's mediated by like a cleric or your rabbi or your preacher, right? I don't know if that's great or not, but like it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. Well, it's just we had, you know, do you remember a couple weeks ago in the group chat when Corey kept forwarding us screenshots of emails he was getting about a PR company pitching us on having that pastor from the Trump pastor council, whatever the fuck it's called, on our podcast, and we were all like, haha, they must not know who we are. And then Corey and Drew were like, oh, it'd be funny to have him on and, you know, fuck with him or whatever. And I just didn't say anything. I remember I came back. I had shows when I feel like I came back and the decision had been made. Yeah, we'll have him on. It'd be cool. And I said, I don't want to do that, but whatever. I guess it's too late now. You never believe this, Mark. It didn't go well. That guy came. We did it. Anyway, he's from Oklahoma, and it seemed like he just kept wanting to turn everything back to, radical Islam is the greatest threat this country has ever faced. But the first time that he ever brought it up was when Drew started asking him about Israel stuff. That's why I said that earlier. So like that's how he first got to it. But it just seemed like that's what he wanted to talk about more than anything was radical Islam. And I remember I was like, it's not that I'm surprised. I didn't think that they were now cool with Muslims. I just thought that they had were chasing a different car currently. I didn't realize that they had gotten back onto this, but that was last week or whatever, and now this today and everything. So I was just, I'm just wondering, it's popping back up. It's becoming a thing. And we're at war in the Middle East again now, so there'll be more of it.
This has been, but this panic in Texas is a couple years old, right? Right. It's been going on before October 7th. So, but last September, Greg Abbott signed the banned Sharia law. It's like, what the fuck? U.S. Reps Chip Roy and Keith Self, both Texas Republicans, last week launched a new Sharia-free America caucus in the U.S. House to, quote, counter the alarming rise of Sharia law in the United States. There's a guy running in a House primary in Texas who's the former mayor of Keller. His name's Armin Mazzani. He signed a proclamation, quote, affirming constitutional supremacy, American sovereignty, and rejection of foreign legal systems. He banned Sharia law from Keller, Texas, which I'm sure was extremely necessary. Keller has 46,000 people. It's 1% Muslim. And you brought up the shooting in Austin Saturday night. This is a picture of the guy. He's wearing a Property of Allah sweatshirt. And supposedly was wearing a t-shirt with the Iranian flag under his sweatshirt. The cops keep saying like he's associated with terrorism, but like one person could be a terrorist by himself. I don't think he's like part of any organization. There's an allegation related to that anyway. Anyway, it's not like the first responders were stopped from getting to the bar because a Waymo blocked the street. So his main ally in this terrorist attack was a fucking robo-taxi.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're going to talk about the war with Iran today, I wanted to mention that the Texas Governor Greg Abbott was tricked by video game footage of two planes fighting in a firefight and retweeted it, basically saying, God bless Trump for Iran fucked around and find out. Because he's celebrating a fighter jet winning a dogfight in a video game. And that's the state I used to live in, and I miss it terribly.
Literal footage from a video game where because there's a ton of AI clips that I know people are passing around that are purporting to be, footage of either Iranian drone strikes or Israeli drone strikes or whatever, and it just wild.
You don't even need to use the AI. Video games are so fucking good now. Just use just use video game footage. Yeah. Stop wasting the water or making, fuck it.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, we'll skip the plugs. Producer Matt's with us, raring to go, I'm sure. So let's go ahead and get into it. You know what we're going to be talking about, of course. World War III, obviously, but we start with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. I literally just said he's raring to go. Today's DD. Iran's supreme leader for not knowing to duck and cover because he wasn't watching TMZ.
We're about to start Two Angry Men. Mark and I just finished the podcast. wait till you hear what he found out eavesdropping at a restaurant in Washington, D.C. at the table next to him. Unbelievable.
What did he over hear, you might think? Let's play this next video, Matt. You can see what you can watch Harvey Levin finding out in real time that we're about to go to war with Iran because his co-host, Mark Garagos, overheard it at Joe's Stone Crab in fucking Washington while people were drinking.
Picked a more crowded restaurant?
No. It was back. If I were to tell you what I was overhearing at the next table, you'd die.
I think I'm going to ask you that. Okay, here we go. You're in Washington, D.C. You could have gone to a million places to do a podcast where it was calm, and you choose Joe's Stone Crab.
Correct. What? And by the way, do you know why? Because I actually was going to leave, but the conversation that I was overhearing on the next table over was so fascinating, I couldn't leave.
Oh, spill it. Spill it.
I think things are happening by the time this drops in Iran, is what I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. So two guys were getting drunk at Joe's Stone Crab Friday afternoon, about 12 hours before we fucking attacked Iran and killed the Ayatollah and a bunch of other people. And they were just kicking back drinks. And let me quote here. The guys at the table were singing this to the tune of the Beach Boys' Barbaran, Bomb, 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 Iran, which, you know,
classic.
John McCain did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'll take this very, very seriously. You know, just a tremendous operation security here. It's also ironic that they struck when they did because Supreme Leader Khamenei. I never say it right. I know it's more like Khamenei, but I'm gonna use my American mouth to say Khamenei the way everybody here says it.
Right.
And the reason they did it at the time is because like him and like 49 like military leaders were having a big meeting in his house at the same time. It was like an opportunity they couldn't pass up. That's pretty stupid, right? But it's worth noting that Trump and his whole team ran this out of Mar-a-Lago all in the same room.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's probably works out great. They probably had like a designated survivor waiting in the hot tub, you know. Iran wasn't doing much better. Mossad, the CIA, apparently had pictures of Khamenei's body before Iran even announced he was dead. There was a joke with Israeli social media floating around this weekend that the remaining three officials in Iran's government are all Mossad, but they don't know it, so they keep reporting on each other. Be cool here from former president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Iran's Secret Service had established a unit to target Mossad agents within Iran. This is after the last time we attacked them. However, the head of this unit turned out to be a Mossad operative himself, along with 20 other agents they put in the unit to hunt down Mossad agents.
Bro, why, what's the Yiddish, or not, what's the Iranian word for the departed, or whatever, right? It's like the plot of that movie, but with Mossad and then Iran. I mean, I'd watch that. FX should make that. Armando Iannucci, one of the two. Maybe that, but yeah, that shit's wild.
Yeah, so this war feels like a solution in search of a problem, but I think I might have figured out what it is all about if you got this headline, Matt, from the Washington Post a few days before we attacked. Trump aides struggle with how to spend $500 billion more on the military. Apparently, we doubled it. We added 50% to the Pentagon's budget with no idea what to do with it, so just sitting with a boatload of cash. And need to spend it on something, which is going to come in handy because we're in a hurry to accomplish whatever we're doing in fucking Iran before we run out of missiles and bombs. Basically, we've been hitting 8 countries with Tomahawks nonstop for the last year because Trump fucking felt like it, and now we're just out of ammunition. So I guess if China takes Hawaii, we can write them a sternly worded letter. And I want to quote here before we get into the substance of this. Inside the Pentagon, among some members of the Trump administration, there's deepening concern that the Iran conflict could spiral out of control. The Pentagon is asking for someone to please make Trump stop this dumb fucking shit before we run out of enough weapons to defend ourselves. I want to quote here from Country Joe in 1967. Ain't no time to wonder why we're all going to die. All right, get into it.
I'm confused by that. So first of all, I've talked before on here about I helped the government spend money for a long time, and that was a thing every year towards the end of the fiscal year. Every department would be rushing to spend whatever their budget was so that they didn't get their budget reduced, and so they'd spend it on stuff they didn't need to spend it on. Mm-hmm. And so that makes sense, except it's $500 billion or whatever, and it's bombing a sovereign nation. But I'm not surprised to hear that, but I don't get how if the problem is they have this budgetary glut, they have all this extra money or whatever, how is it also true that they're running out of everything? Like, I thought, Like, you made it sound like they had all, you know, they had a surplus and didn't know what to do with it. But then also, now we're running out of everything.
It takes way longer to build a Tomahawk missile than it does to blow it up.
Yeah, but dude, but the other thing that I know is that we have like warehouses and shit. There's so many like mothballed fucking jets and tanks and all. We have so much more. I always was told and understood that we had so much more of just anything, because that always pissed me off, because I was like, why do we keep fucking building? Why do we have all this shit then? Why are we spending all this money on this if it's just sitting around gathering dust? And, you know, I guess they were like, yeah, you know what? That guy's right. Let's blow up the Middle East with it all. I don't know. But anyway, I'm just saying. That's what I always heard.
Dude, we've lost count. We've launched like 150 Tomahawk missiles at Nigeria.
Right.
No one's paying attention, but we bombed the fuck out of Nigeria. Another 100 something at Somalia. I read a month ago the Pentagon was fucking shitting their pants. The Indo-Pac, the people in charge of the Pacific. Drunk Pete, had taken all the missiles.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, from the Pacific theater and moved them to the Middle East and Africa because they'd run out there. So they're already moving shit around. Like, tell me, an Amazon supply chain for a defense logistics. Like, there's just they've been spending it faster than we can make it and moving stuff around to cover their ass like a get rich quick scheme, like they're running like a Ponzi scheme with missiles for a long time already. And now we just launched one of the biggest air campaigns in world history, and it's just like we don't have infinity. The Trump administration does not understand that even though we have a ton, we do not have infinity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Pentagon shit in their pants.
Right.
So. To talk about the state of the war as we sit here on Monday afternoon, I want to play this video. This is an American soldier in Kuwait watching a drone strike, and this is pretty funny, Trey. Watch this guy filming out of his bunker.
What the fucking truck?
What?
He said, that's my fucking truck.
I know what he said. What? They drone strike his U.S. soldier's truck? Like,
I mean, all I can see was military vehicles. Maybe he had like his video game system in there or whatever. So, for what's been announced right now, there are three Americans dead, hundreds of Iranians dead, a dozen or so Israelis dead. Three American F-15s were shot down by Kuwaiti air defense systems because we didn't let Kuwait. We know we were flying through their airspace or some shit. It's the worst air battle loss in decades, and we did it just purely because somebody didn't make a fucking phone call. The administration's clearly lying about damage to bases and assets. Like, what they say compared to, like, nonpartisan satellite video analysis is, like, night and day. I don't know whether the 5th Fleet Base in Bahrain is functional.
Mm-hmm.
And they're acting like nothing's wrong. The basic dynamic here is like Iranian missiles and drones cost like between $20,000 and $250,000, and the Patriot missiles we used to shoot them down cost $1 million each. We have to fire an average of three to take one out if we hit them. So we're basically shooting Ferraris at e-bikes.
Yeah, what's up with that? How is that? You know, how does that make sense? like they're getting a much better. They got a much more efficient operation going. Sounds like if you could fucking. You know, do damage for $20,000. Why spend $1 million on it? But
yeah, you got me, buddy. While I'm watching videos of influencers with the lip injections covering the missile attacks in Dubai, it's like they're truly the Walter Cronkites of our area.
Yeah.
Of our era. Iran managed to hit an Amazon data center. They set it on fire in Dubai, which is Pearl Harbor for fucking rich virgins. The thing I find most frustrating about this is like, so Iran's, feels like to me, unless we're willing to drop a nuke or raise the stakes some way by putting boots on the ground, Iran's fucking won. They run.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're willing to fight to the death, and I am not. Are you, Trey?
Mm-mm.
No. So what they've done is they know they can't really take out Israel, and it probably wouldn't be smart to attack our fleets and shit. So they're just firing at random like assets, hotels, and oil derricks and shit, and like Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, all that shit. It's basically like America. You got a midterm election in 6 months, right? How do you feel about $16 a gallon gas?
Right. Do they Kuwait, UAE, Saudi Arabia? Like, do these countries? Well, I guess if Kuwait shot down our planes. Do they all have like their own military capabilities and stuff that could, or is it just like it's up to us to respond to all these attacks and all these other countries and everything? Do you know what I mean?
They have some, but like, but they all have, they also have American military bases there, which of course the implicit promise is they have our protection.
Right.
But,
right.
But Saudi Arabia.
So they're not bringing other ones into the fray by doing that type of thing, is what I'm saying. It's still just, all us, regardless.
No. The reason they're doing that is to try to get, because Saudi Arabia, you can, depending on which reporting you read, either was cool with this, us attacking Iran, or pushed for it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so Iran's been striking Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia got on TV this morning crying, saying how unfair it was because America wasn't launching attacks from bases in Saudi Arabia, which is, even if it's true, is bullshit because we're moving missiles and ammunition from the base in Saudi Arabia, we're flying that to a base elsewhere to launch from. So it's still a legitimate military target, is what I'm saying, Saudi mm-hmm. Arabia is. And they're crying because we're putting more work into defending Israel than defending them. Right. Shocker.
Right, but I don't know how they didn't see that coming.
Well, because they bribed fucking Trump directly. Right. They gave him billions of dollars. Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, who was in negotiations with Iran, literally works for them.
Yeah, right. Right.
But I have no fucking sympathy for Saudi Arabia. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. I hope Iran drone strikes MBS's fucking orange Lamborghini while he's driving to his mistress's house. They do not give a fuck.
Right. But see, that's what I was saying. Or that's what I was asking because I knew they were striking all these other Middle Eastern, our allies over there. But I didn't know if that would be like I said, like you mentioned Pearl Harbor, like if Qatar is now involved when they wouldn't have been before. But I thought, like, you know, The implicit understanding might just be that it's up to us to defend them in that scenario anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Right, but what the world's realizing, and this is the real year zero moment for us, and like they're talking about the American center of humiliation, is like we cannot actually defend everywhere at once.
Right.
We never could, but until like 2 days ago, it kind of felt like it.
Yeah, right.
And now they pulled down our pants and smacked our asses, and we're like, look at their little dicks, everybody. Nobody's scared of us anymore, dog. It's like this is the amount of fucked up here. Like, so, like, everybody's acting like it's what Iran's doing is quote unquote unfair, right? But there's no fair here,
right?
Dude, we talked about it when we attacked Iran last summer. But do you remember the Millennium Challenge, the famous war game scenario, where like. The Marine Corps general who was assigned to play Iran fucking whipped America's ass. And they restarted the war game and put more constraints on him so he wasn't allowed to win. And then America won and they all celebrated. what they stopped him from doing was demanding suicide boat attacks on our ships. Right? Mm-hmm. Iran's not even doing that yet. But like, both the CIA and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff tried to tell the administration, this is in the news Thursday or Friday, so like maybe it's preemptive ass covering, but they were already leaking that we told them this is not going to go well. All right, this is not going to work. But there seems to be a belief, not just in the Millennium Challenge, but like through and through Washington, D.C. and our news media, that our enemies are not allowed to shoot back. It's like unfair or cheating or something because we're the protagonists of reality, and you have to let us kill you if we want to. And if you think I'm joking, here's like, look at what dumb babies we look like in this clip of the Iranian foreign minister on NBC News over the weekend.
So for clarity, you said that you're... missiles cannot reach the United States by design, that you do not want to reach the United States, but you also said it would be necessary as a defensive vehicle that you could if necessary. So to be clear, are you committing that Iran is not and will not build missiles that would have the capability to reach the United States?
I can confirm, yes.
Sir, if that's a red line for you, why is attacking U.S. military bases abroad justified?
But because they are attacking us. They are U.S. military, you know, installations, facilities, bases.
You could say, so, like, if the guy wasn't a devout Muslim, he'd be calling that lady a fucking moron. Why do you think it's okay to attack our military bases that we're attacking you from? what the fuck, man?
Right. Yeah, it definitely seems like we just thought that, you know, just drop bombs, mop up, and move on or whatever, because what are they going to do about it type of thing. But people don't like that sort of shit. They've had to have been like prepping every which away for this type of shit for a long fucking time, like on their side. You know what I mean? Because like it's been simmering for a while. I'm sure they've thought about it. Like, I'm sure they had run their own version of the Millennium Challenge and that type of thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And part of the dynamic here is if you believe it coming out, what's coming out of what's left of the leadership of Iran is, like, because, like, they also attacked Oman, which we'll get to Oman later on if you have time. But they're the country that has the least to do with all this, the least to blame for their problems. They're actually trying to help Iran. But, like, because we obliterated, like, 40-some generals, we basically killed their joint chiefs of staff and their fucking, like, heads of all the military branches and, you know, their secretary of defense and shit, along with their supreme leader. So, like, whatever orders they gave before they died or what are being acted on. There's, like, all these units out there firing at will with no central command. Mm-hmm. Because we killed the guys who would tell them to cut it out. But, like, Trump's been calling everybody trying to spin this, and one of the reporters he talked to this morning, he said that the biggest surprise has been that Iran has been attacking Arab countries, which is always what they were going to do. Like, they've only hit one Kuwaiti oil platform, I think. That's just a shot across the bow. That's like, do you guys want to be able to gas up? Do you guys want to heat your houses this winter? That's what that's a fucking threat is.
Right.
And, like, we don't... Anyway, talking about the world we're creating, French President Emmanuel Macron announced today, quote, "I have ordered that we will increase the number of nuclear warheads in our arsenal. We will no longer communicate on the figures regarding our nuclear arsenal." So, it's the world without America, baby. We're living it now. Can you talking about this? We should probably go to break before we finish this up.
Okay. Well, we'll be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. International Women's Day is celebrated every year on March 8th all around the world. It's a time to recognize the contributions of women and the strength that they show every single day, not just in big public ways, but in the quiet, constant ways that keep families, workplaces, and relationships running. I see it in my sister, and maybe not, I wouldn't call her quiet, but she's very constant, and she definitely keeps things trucking right along. I see it in my wife, same thing. They're doing great work, both of them. Don't know what I'd do without the lovely ladies in my life. The way they balance work, show up for the people they love, and manage 1,000 moving parts, and somehow still carry the emotional temperature of the room like it's just part of the job description. That's a lot. That's a lot going on, and a lot of that goes unseen and unappreciated. Being the strong one all the time can get heavy. It's a burden. When you're used to putting other people first all the time, your own well-being can slip down the list. Therapy gives you a space that's just yours, just for you, to sort through your expectations, set healthy boundaries for yourself, and focus on what you need for a change. BetterHelp makes therapy simple. Their therapists are fully licensed in the U.S. They've got over 30,000 on the platform. They've served more than 6 million people worldwide. You fill out a short questionnaire. They match you based on your goals. And if it's not the right fit, you can switch anytime, no questions asked. Your emotional well-being matters. Find support and feel lighter in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com/skews. That's BetterHelp.com/skews. BetterHelp.com/skews. Sign up and get 10% off today. Weekly Skews is brought to you by ZBiotics. It's March already. Can you believe it? Shoo-wee. March is basically the social decathlon, full-on social gauntlet. You know, you got bracket watch parties for March Madness, perhaps the best sporting event of the year. St. Patrick's Day rolling through. You got green beer all over the place. You got spring break trips to go on, late season ski weekends. Those last two are one and the same for me. So that's going to be wild. Backyard hangs once the first warm Saturday hits. A lot of fun stuff, which can mean a lot of friends, a lot of good times, and, you know, perhaps a lot of drinking too. And I tell you what, if you're like me, you don't bounce back the next day after drinking anymore. Gets tougher. It only ever gets tougher. You feel like you have to make a choice. I can have a great night, or I can have a productive next day, right? That's how it just was. Until I found out about pre-alcohol. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration itself, that's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. So just remember to make pre-alcohol from ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Then, of course, as always, drink responsibly, and you'll still feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have pre-alcohol before drinks, I notice a stark difference the next day, even after being out with friends watching games or celebrating St. Patty's, even going that hard. Now with prebiotics, I can still pre-alcohol from ZBiotics, I can still get up, handle family stuff, maybe even hit a spring 5K or just enjoy the first decent weather we've seen in months without feeling like I made a mistake. Go to zbiotics.skew, S-K-E-W, to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use the promo code SKEW at checkout. Zbiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they will refund your money. So head to zbiotics.com/skew and use the promo code SKEW at checkout for 15% off. Okay. All right, we're back.
So, to lay out my biases here, I pretty much think all optional wars are fucking stupid. I know that kind of makes me a minority in America. but, like, you look at the recent history, like, of our foreign interventions in the Middle East lately. So, in Iraq, we tried boots on the ground. That didn't work. Ended in disaster. Libya, we just used air power. That didn't work. Ended in disaster. In Afghanistan, we tried arming closed proxies with air support. That didn't work, ending in a disaster. In Syria, we used loose proxies with deniable air support. That didn't work, ending in a disaster. In Iran, so far, we're doing half-assed Libya while considering a dash of Syria. So, yay.
Right. But you say it makes you a minority in America, but, like, not for this one, right? Not currently. Isn't that what, don't all the numbers show that, like, 20% of Americans are okay with it, which means 80% are not, you know, hypothetically or whatever. Like, the idea that, like, a lot of people keep bringing up the whole wag the dog thing and people pointing out, you know, digging up the old tweets from Trump about, you know, during the Obama administration, he's underwater and his approval, this is Trump saying this, he's on, Obama's, and, you know, his approval ratings are low. You watch, he's going to start a war with Iran to, you know, to keep from losing re-election or to get his numbers up. He said it over and over again. Obama never did it, but now Trump's doing it, and people are saying, you know, we got midterms this year. But, like, I just don't – I'm sure – I know the base will get on board, but it just don't – it don't feel like that to me anymore, like that old, like, classic – that whole wag the dog thing. Like, people will rally around the flag in times of war or whatever, so you can gin one up if you need the boost in your numbers. I just don't buy that in 2026 America, you know?
I'm not sure where people go. I know it's based upon, like, Clinton in the 90s and how popular George W. Bush was after 9/11.
After 9/11, right, yeah. But that was very different.
But Clinton in the 90s, like, he was thought of as, like a frivolous, you know, decadent guy who had cheated on his wife. So getting involved in a war, like, flipped the narrative on him.
Mm-hmm.
Bush didn't, I mean... Unless you think he did 9/11, he was the guy sitting there when it happened, right? He didn't do anything. But, like, LBJ, like, had to decide not to run again because Vietnam was so fucking unpopular.
Right.
So, like, this whole idea, Trump really did think, I mean, I'm sure he's trying to change the fucking news cycle, and wars are a good way to do that, but, like, I have no idea whether this is going to be good for him. Like, you're talking about, yeah, you're right, the last poll I saw was 21% approve of attacking Iran, 21%. And that's before we see a single flag draped coffin. That's before people's the
gas prices stores, go up and fucking
store shelves are empty. Yeah, I mean, like how much, like, they can shut down the world economy if they want to, unless we nuke Iran. So, like,
right.
I do want to see, like, I have friends from Iran who were celebrating the death of the Ayatollah.
Yeah,
and I don't doubt their sincerity here. I don't think any part of them was dancing about the girls' school that we blew up and killed 108 schoolgirls, right? Mm-hmm. It's just like, I think people are allowed to celebrate the deaths of tyrants, but the idea that this is like he's uniformly unpopular is not true. There were millions of people in the street mourning him after he died over the weekend in Iran, and there was a pro Ali Khamenei demonstration in Dallas yesterday. But I do know that, unlike Iraq, the video of the people celebrating tearing down a statue of Khamenei was not staged like it was in Iraq when we tied cables around the Saddam statue. I'm like, hey, y'all, you want to come here and tuggle on this? But I do want to note that Iraqis celebrated Saddam. ISIS came along soon after. Libyans celebrated after Gaddafi's death. And currently, Libya is a slave state run by militias.
Right.
So... what's on the other side of this is just as important as taking out a fucking historical shit.
And we've never once gotten that right. I feel like, except unless you count, I guess, like maybe Germany or something. But, like, generally never gotten that right. And that was with competent people in charge, you know. Like, I don't know why we insist on all this regime change stuff, considering almost always fuck it up. But especially now with these people in charge of it. I mean, my God.
Yeah, I mean, we see that we can capture the magic of Japan and Germany over and over again, but, like, literally, it's been, like, almost 100 years since we fucking pulled it off.
Right.
And that took a lot of endowment investment. Also, those were, like, populations that were, like, spiritually and broken. Mm-hmm. They were defeated in spirit, not just militarily. They wanted to rebuild and do something different. Like right. this is not. Yeah. This is not
literally killed Japan's god.
Yes.
So,
but like even from like from a cynical like American or even Israeli standpoint, I don't understand why you'd want to kill Khomeini. Like the whole axis of resistance, you know, which is their term for Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis, had collapsed in the last 9 months, and I don't think that's disconnected from the fact that the supreme leader is like a sick recluse pushing 90 years old who literally had less than a year left before he died of prostate cancer. I know why Trump would want to kill him, because he wants to be the king of the 1980s. And he wants that fucking headline for killing the guy who bombed the Marine barracks in Beirut in 84. But like in the real world, the Ayatollah wasn't taking any special security measures, even though he knew the attacks were about to start, and he was killed at home. He wanted to die this way.
Right. Yeah, makes sense. It's more useful, you know, for him to be sort of martyred or whatever like this. Like you said, just dying in a hospital bed.
Yeah, this is what he wanted. Year. Like, you basically think of it as, like, instead of suicide by cop, it's suicide by Team America World Police.
Right.
And, like, Iranian State TV has been playing a recording of a Khomeini's sermon where he said, quote, "Sometimes I imagine myself dying from an accident or maybe a fever, and my heart becomes so full of sadness that the chance for competing for paradise, i.e. martyrdom, will be taken away from me that way." So, yeah, we took a guy who was about to die and was at least significantly unpopular, and we made him to a national hero because he died alongside a bunch of fucking school children. So, and by the way, there are definitely people in Washington, D.C. who told Trump not to do this, you know, saying he's 90, he's had cancer twice, he's going to die soon anyway, don't make him a martyr for the cause. But, like, because everyone's doing kayfabe, Trump has to play the real American hero, you know, on TV, so Khomeini can play the, you know, real Arab hero on TV, and everybody's just playing the fucking role in this, like, TV drama. But also, it's worth noting that, about a week before he died, or 2 weeks before he died, Khomeini was tweeting stuff like this. "Everything we had ever heard about their corruption is one thing. This affair of that morally corrupt island is another altogether. These are indicative of what Western civilization and liberal democracy are." So yeah, he was going to get to the bottom of the Epstein file, so he had to go, Trey. I don't have any, like, I'm not about to do some, like, actually, Ali Khomeini was cool here. Like, sometimes it's like right. that, where, like, they exaggerate. There's no, like, Iran's government just killed somewhere between 5 and 35,000 protesters, depending on whose numbers you believe.
Right.
And there is some, like, conservative pundit who, like, made a long, like, internet post on the internet today going through all the, like, terrorist attacks and Americans that have been killed by Iran going back to 1979. I was like, all these are accurate as far as I know. Why'd you start 1979 real quick? Why'd you start the clock there? Right. If we can talk about that for a second, because that's, you know, when
they overthrew the Shah and the Islamic Revolution and all that, right?
Yeah.
Which Shah, that was our guy that we put
yeah he literally started the thread with they took over our embassy in 1979 and did not state a fucking reason for it. Just like, okay, man, like, eh. So, by the way, some CBS this morning, Representative Mike Turner from Ohio said that Marco Rubio told him that the U.S. did not target Khomeini, and we were not targeting the leadership in Iran. So we accidentally killed their top-ranking 50 government officials?
Yeah. Happy little accident. Bob Ross of warfare.
Like, there are, like, they've said so much like bullshit that contradicts each other, like, already right. in the 2 days since this. I don't know what even they're trying to do, and neither does anyone else.
Nobody does, right? That's the thing. It's like the objective is unclear. Like, nuclear program, but we said we already obliterated that. Or it's like, oh, there's the regime change thing, and Trump's tweeting out about the fucking election interference and all this type of stuff. And they just keep moving the goalposts, because it's, so it's like, what even are... you know, we doing? And then there's the people being like, oh, it's about the midterms or whatever. So it's just all this stuff swirling around. And like you said, maybe it's just a favor for Saudi Arabia, or, like, I don't fucking know, but nobody seems to know.
Mick, it's one of the weird times J.D. Vance is in lying. He said in an interview with the Washington Post, to quote, "There's no chance the U.S. will get embroiled in a long, drawn-out war with Iran." Well, first of all, you can't 100% be true of that, because the enemy gets a fucking vote, my man. Maybe they didn't teach you that in the Marine Corps where you weren't paying attention that day. But, like you're saying, I think he might be right, because we can just quit whenever we feel like, because we have no fucking objective.
Right.
We're just blowing shit up and killing people because Trump woke up one morning feeling like it.
Right. And I feel like maybe I'm wrong. I'm just thinking really about Iraq and everything. But, like, in my lifetime, in my experience, if you wanted to start like a wholly unjust war or whatever, you know what I mean? I.e., there hasn't been a 9/11. It's just, and obviously with Iraq, there was a 9/11, but that didn't have anything to do with it. You had to like spend weeks lying, you know, to the American public and building your case for doing it.
It was like 2 years of lying before Iraq.
Right. I know. That's what I'm saying. And now it's war first, lie later. It's like they woke up, they bombed us, like, what are we going to tell the American people? And they're like, the who? What are you talking about? And then they're, you know, like, it's just all so backwards and ridiculous.
I would read here from a New York Times article. Listen to this, okay? Mr. Trump offers several seemingly contradictory visions of how power might be transferred to a new government. Transferred to a new government. Or even whether the existing Iranian power structure would run that government or be overthrown. He first suggested that Iran's elite military forces turn over its weapons to the country's populace, voluntarily abdicating power. They would really surrender to the people if you think about it. He's just fucking spitballing. He suggested that Venezuela and the succession of power that occurred after the United States kidnapped Nicolas Maduro could serve as a model for how the administration might achieve its goals. What we did in Venezuela, I think, is the perfect scenario, Trump said. Everybody kept their job except for two people. So he's already pitched two scenarios. One, the IRGC just hands over its weapons to the people and the government disintegrates. Two, the Ayatollah's gone, everyone else stays in their job, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, let me read here. Everybody's kept their job except for two people. But Trump also indicated that he had three very good choices for whom he wanted to assume power in Iran. But maybe we shouldn't be counting on those three very good choices after all, because ABC News reporter Jonathan Carl also spoke with Trump by phone on Sunday and was informed that those hand-picked candidates to assume power are actually dead. Quote, the attack was so successful it knocked out most of the candidates, Trump said.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You accidentally killed the guys who wanted to run the country.
Right. So now what?
So now the only the remaining thing here is like he's talking about a massive campaign dedicated to the broad goal of preventing Iran from, quote, threatening America. I don't feel threatened.
Yeah, I saw a guy, I don't remember who, a Republican congressman who I assume is on some defense committee or something, was on CNN this morning, and he was talking about how Americans need to be vigilant and stuff like that for, like, whatever, terrorist attacks or stuff as a response to this. He brought up the Austin thing. He didn't directly say it was that, but he was like, but, you know, we're monitoring that. That might have already happened. But it was like he was actively talking about, you know, like Americans, I don't know if it's a fucking if you see something, say something type thing or what they think it is, but basically just broaching the subject of, you know, response within our borders or whatever, which I thought was pretty wild for him to bring up, I mean.
We're a huge soft target. I don't doubt somebody somewhere is going to shoot up someplace. It happens all the time. Like the only difference is this guy would actually have a fucking motive.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Trump, like, he gave a speech at 3 a.m. Saturday morning about what the goals were, and he did say the ultimate goal was regime change. To the great, proud people of Iran, I say tonight, the hour of your freedom is at hand. When we are finished, take over your government. It will be yours to take. So, shrug. I don't know. You guys fucking do it.
Right. Yeah. That's just classic Trump. You know, he's a bleeding heart, man. He couldn't watch these people being oppressed on the other side of the globe any longer. You know, he had to do something about it. Couldn't stand idly by while people were being put down by a tyrannical government.
But that's the thing. Okay. We did stand by. We waited until after they were all dead. So the forces that would rise up and to be in the streets have already been fucking beaten down.
Yeah, well, we also blew up schools and stuff. I feel like it's like they're over there like trying to overthrow the government or whatever, then schools blow up and shit. They're like, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? Like, we're helping. This is how we help things. With explosions. It's the only way we know how to help things.
And by the way, Reza Pahlavi's still out there doing it. The Shah's son, if you got this video clip, Matt.
Maria, this is time now for a very strong, stable transition. I am leading this transition. I have the support of millions of Iranian people. I have the people inside the country that are joining and broadening the coalition of forces that will be at play in filling the boxes, the military.
this guy has not been in Iran since 1979. Mm-hmm. He's known for the fact that his dad, the Shah, was a foreign collaborator, which is why he was chased to the power in the first place. He doesn't know anybody there. He doesn't go there anymore. But I just want to say that I also volunteered to be the king of Persia. I have a feeling Trump is just blustering when after a few days of bawling will give way to a climb down in which, like, basically nothing changes. But here's Lindsey Graham on Meet the Press yesterday.
Social media post Sunday, President Trump wrote this, quote, "Hopefully the IRGC and police will peacefully merge with the Iranian patriots and work together as a unit to bring back the country to the greatness it deserves."
All right, pause it, Pat.
Sure. Right. Yeah. So the like fucking stormtroopers that just beat everybody to death, they're going to like join arms with them now because fucking Trump opened a Diet Pepsi up in the middle of them.
Yeah.
Like,
the Revolutionary Guard and police should work together with the protesters they just killed.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to point out here that while we're pretending that the IRGC is the fucking like the face of evil, that Trump got in the 90s, I think it was the 90s, early 2000s, got in trouble for money laundering for the IRGC through a hotel project in Azerbaijan. So you finished playing this clip, Matt.
Hope the plan for the future of Iran?
No, the future of Iran is going to be determined by the Iranian people. The new Iran, whatever it is, whether it's a cleric or a representative democracy, our goal is to make sure it cannot become.
They had a cleric. You killed him. I agree that the people of Iran should determine their future. Mm-hmm. All right. But we are also trying to determine it for them by killing the person that they had put in charge of them. I think, I know it's like it's an authoritarian. Like, I didn't put Trump in charge of us either, right? You know what I'm saying? Like right. So like the like we to basically we've constructed a Builder Bear workshop inside our parameters where you can do regime change yourself as long as you do it the way we want. And so like the emerging policy is you people out there are responsible for setting up your own governments, but if the U.S. doesn't like who ends up in charge, we'll assassinate or kidnap them and the ball is back in your court to try again.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter because this morning, Monday morning, Pete Hegseth had stood in front of the Pentagon podium and said that the mission is not regime change.
Right.
So we changed the regime, but... Trump said we targeted the Ayatollah at the decapitation operation. Marco Rubio says that's not true. Then the administration says we're changing the regime. And then Hegseth says, no, we're not changing the regime. We just killed the regime.
Right. Yeah, I know. I also saw, actually was watching the news a little bit today, which I normally, of course, don't do. Just, get on Twitter and talk to you and stuff. But I also saw a retired major general on there talking about this, about how, like he's being all diplomatic and political, but saying it's like, it's disconcerting was the word he used about the objective drift or whatever, what you're talking about. It's like first it was this, now it's that, and he's like, that's highly unusual and not doesn't really bode well. But then he also said he's currently in Dubai, this general, and he said there's like 10,000 American citizens or civilians or whatever in Dubai right now, and that there's also a bunch of British people there, and the British government is actively working on getting the Brits out because the like airports, everything is shut down. And he was like, and we're not doing anything for the Americans there. And he a retired four-star general had been in contact with the embassies and stuff, being like, is there like a plan for this? And he said they were like running around like chickens with their heads cut off and had no plan at all. He said in part because they're in survival mode because they've had their budget slashed by more than half in the past year at the like embassies and consulates and all that. So, just vibes are great, but yeah, we're just stranding our people over there and everything. So,
bro, we left two people stranded at Benghazi. Right. And by the way, while in protest to this happening, like several of our embassies were overrun by people, by mobs in New Delhi, I think, and one other, maybe Pakistan, somewhere else. And like, it hasn't even made the news.
Right.
not that the people matter anymore, because these things just happen without us and don't bother telling us, much less convincing us. But I watched the most brain dead debate play out where, like, because like I said, we blew up that girls' school that was near an Iranian naval base, 100 and some. Little girl dead, and this MAGA guy, this neocon guy or whatever, was like, well, that's heartbreaking, but it's important to be liberate the Iranian people because I wanted to live in a universe where Iranian little Iranian girls can go to school.
Right.
I'm like, you're like, justifying the blowing up of a girl's school because you want girls to be able to go to school?
Yeah, right.
You're just pretending the girls don't go to school in Iran?
Yeah.
Like, you just made that up to justify the war? Like, they're just pretending that that modern day Iran is Afghanistan under the Taliban in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. It's not that I don't have sympathies for like women's rights in Iran or whatever. We did a whole episode on the protest there 3 years ago after that. Remember that woman was beaten to death by the morality piece for not wearing a hijab. But I just think these people should Google a country before they root on a fucking invasion. And the dynamic we're interfering in, where these protests have been ongoing because of the state of the economy and all and political repression and stuff, starting in December, more and more women were starting to openly defy the hijab laws. And now you probably installed a more hardline government that's going to crack down more firmly on this shit to stay in control. Good job.
Right.
Besides, like, changing the regime, we've made it worse.
Yeah, very likely. That's, again, generally what happens.
And, like, they haven't even, like, forgetting the why, they didn't even say why now. Like there's no reason this couldn't have waited that I can see. Except, you know, Pete was sober, I guess, maybe. And, like, I also want to know they did this on a Friday night, you know, when the markets couldn't react. We took out Maduro on a Saturday night when the markets couldn't react. Last year's Iran attack was on Sunday when the markets couldn't react. Basically, as long as the stock market isn't open, we can kill whoever the fuck we want, is the Trump administration's policy.
Mm-hmm.
And the closest analogy to this kind of decision-making is, I can't really find an American war to compare it to, but it does remind me of, like, the Russian invasion of Ukraine back in 2022, because no one thought Putin would do that because it was too fucking stupid.
Right.
You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, they were building up for months, but the consensus opinion was like, ah, there's no reason to do this.
Right.
Like,
yeah, just things like saber rattling or whatever. I mean, that's pretty much what I thought about Iran. I mean, I'll be honest, especially after the strikes last year, when that happened, I was like, oh, shit. And then the dust sort of settled or whatever. And again, it's always being talked about and stuff. But I kind of was like, I didn't think it would just full on pop off on a random Saturday morning or whatever like this. But yeah, it's like you said, especially because it just seemed so, it did seem random and just out of nowhere. I know it's been talked about off and on for a very long time, the general threat of it, but like, still, yeah. Normally it doesn't happen like this.
Yeah, but just like, because we live in kind of a personalist regime now, it's sort of just like Russia and Ukraine, where like Putin had his own grievances, didn't need to make sense to anyone else. The yes men serving below him were incapable of contradicting him. So now, a couple years later, 500,000 people are dead. So it'd be nice if we had a functioning fucking Congress, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But like, I want to talk about the negotiations leading up to this in a minute, because what a fucking farce, man. But first of all, I want to check in with a well-known critic of war with Iran, if you have this video, Matt.
A president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective.
All right. In a State of the Union Tuesday, just this last Tuesday, Trump said he preferred to sell the current crisis through diplomacy, but only if Tehran's leaders said they, quote, will never have a nuclear weapon, end quote. Words he claimed that, quote, we haven't heard. But they did say that, though. You cannot believe them if you want, but at present, they're not the ones lying because they did say that, and you were lying because you said they didn't say something they absolutely fucking said.
Mm-hmm.
What they did refuse to say is they would never enrich any uranium because you need uranium for stuff like fucking x-ray machines. In the latest round of talks, they use Oman as an intermediary for these kind of things. They're kind of like the Switzerland of the Middle East. Iran promised they was willing to suspend enrichment for the next 3 years in totality for as long as Trump is president. But Trump wanted any deal to be struck to be permanent. No deal is fucking permanent. That's a lie off its top of its face. And he didn't offer to lift sanctions. It was just disarm or we'll fucking kill you. Which just disarmament will kill you is not a legitimate threat, because that's your threat is the reason they want the fucking missiles in the first place.
Right.
Like I said, I mentioned earlier that Iran attacked Oman, which they really didn't deserve this. The reason Oman is like a negotiating hub in the Middle East is like they're neither Shia nor Sunni. They're Alawite body, which is a more moderate form of Islam. They don't beef with either group. And the latest round of talks ended on Thursday. Omani negotiators reported significant progress, and they hope they might resume next week. And the Omanis, after this happened, are like, what the fuck? Because Jared Kushner and Steve Witkoff, either lied to Trump or did not understand what the Iranians were offering, the technical stuff about nuclear enrichment, because the Omanis are here saying they actually did offer everything you wanted.
Right.
So what the fuck? And like they went public with this on Thursday or Friday to try to stop this war from happening.
Right. Makes it seem like they were we were always going to attack them the whole time. It didn't matter what they said. And we're just assuming that they wouldn't agree to all that, but then they did. And we're like, nah, fuck it. Do it anyway or something.
Right. It certainly seems like the negotiations themselves were a ruse the entire time to keep them busy and make them think it was possible to stop us from fucking attacking.
Right, right.
But then again, Rubio says we weren't planning to attack, but Israel said they were going to do it with or without us, so we decided to join in with them because Iran was going to retaliate with attacking FOMO. Our bases anyway. Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Anyway, like no one's ever going to negotiate with us again, because not only did we use these negotiations as a ruse, we also did this last summer, and then we killed their literal negotiator. So, yeah. I want to play this video. This is Trump's currently serving Director of National Intelligence. This is a campaign ad she posted back when she was a Democrat in 2020. If you got this video, man.
Here are the steps that Donald Trump has taken to create a war with Iran. First, he took Iran nuclear.
You can't tell from the music she was against that then. She literally sold shirts that said no war with Iran. If you got this picture, Matt. I guess we still wear the same shirt. We do the Simpsons bit where you put a comma after the no and an exclamation point after Iran. No, war with Iran.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, it'd be nice to have a Congress. When I finish out talking about these fuckers, here's John Cornyn at a campaign event before he loses this week to Ken Paxton, probably in his Senate primary. If you get this video, Matt.
I don't know I'm learning as like you are, as the news unfolds, exactly what's happening. But I do know Iran must be stopped from a nuclear weapons program.
Okay. That's the United States Senator from the President's own party who serves on the Select Committee on Intelligence and the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations. He has no idea what's going on as America goes to war with Iran. Doesn't seem interested in finding out. He's watching on the TV just like the rest of us. Let me quote here from another Republican senator, this one from Oklahoma, Mark Wayne Mullen. We are not wanting regime change, but the person that's leading this effort is the Ayatollah. Remember in 1979, when he came to power, he was saying that he wanted to be a nuclear Iran. Mark Wayne Mullen thinks it's the same Ayatollah that took power in 1979.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks Iran, until 2 days ago, was ruled by a guy that was 124 years old. What I'm saying is, like, remember we talked about like trying to stop Sharia law in Texas? If people are living to be 124, we need Sharia law now. We need RFK Jr. rolling out like a haram fucking shit on the shelves right now. Halal, sorry. We need halal butcher shops on every street corner in America. Now, for the Democrats, like, I could read Chuck Schumer's statement, what he put out over the weekend, but really, it's just paraphrasing an Onion article written about him in 2019. Headline, Chuck Schumer, the American people deserve a president who can more credibly justify war with Iran.
Oh, the Onion.
Like, six years ago, Chuck Schumer is the exact same fucking guy. Like, mm-hmm. None of the politics have changed. None of his worldviews changed. Trump's president for a second time. And, like, we're starting our third World War III of the last 2 years.
Right.
And he's like, only process complaints. Only process complaints. Not we shouldn't be going to war complaints.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll see how it checks out. Something tells me it's probably going to go on for a little while. Although, like you said, it is a little different in this case since we're not really doing anything. We can just fuck off at any time, I guess. So it's hard to say.
Well, yesterday said 4 to 5 days, then today said 4 to 5 weeks. It could be back to 4 and a half. This could be over by this time tomorrow. By the time you guys watch this could be done. Or we could nuke somebody. Or yada yada, whatever.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, that's exciting. Thank you guys for watching. We appreciate it. Go to TreyCrowder.com and come see me on the road while you still can. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, no, do it. I'll be in Chicago and Denver up next, Steamboat Springs. Janesville and Appleton, Wisconsin, Burlington, Vermont, and a lot of other places right after that, all at TreyCrowder.com. Check out Producer Matt's audio exclusive Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. It's a nice palate cleanser. It's on the audio feed of this show. It's like the podcast feed of this show is where you'll find it. And then consider supporting the show and getting 2 bonus episodes a month, as well as ad-free versions of the main episodes when you sign up on Patreon. $5 a month gets you all that. WeeklySkews.com/more, or just go to Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. But that's it for now. We'll see you next week. Hang in there, everybody. Love you. Bye.
Skews.